So the big boogeyman right now in games would be digital games, kind of like how everything in movies has gone to streaming services and all that.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. Today, we have Spencer Brossman, owner of Complete Inbox Video Games. Spencer, welcome to episode 69 of the American Grown Podcast.
Thank you for having me, and I also just want to say, nice.
Yeah, I mean, it just that's how the cards fell, you know?
It works 69. Out. Yeah,
absolutely. Perfect. So, first time meeting. Your store, your video game store is located in Ephrata?
Correct. Okay, yeah, kind of near the Green Dragon Farmer's Market, if people around here are familiar with that.
I know where you're at, yep. So the main road you came today was 322.
One lane the whole way, baby.
How was the drive?
It was fine. You know those times when you're behind one person and you're just like, please, lady, get off. And they somehow go the entire route you're going. That's how it was today. It's okay, though.
Yeah.
It was. I don't get out to Lebanon much, so it was really nice just to see just different stuff. Yeah. I was telling you earlier, I live 30 minutes away, and I don't know if I've ever been to this exact area, which is, it's just really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
But no, I'm glad you made it in, and you got here, you know, safely and everything. So, small world, we got to shout them out. Nate and Olivia Holmes, and then their cousin Adam. They were guests on the podcast back on episode 53. If you want to listen to that episode, we covered a lot about Dungeons & Dragons, talked about some video games, Star Wars, Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings, all kinds of stuff. And then Adam was actually featured episode 52. He's the owner of Drums Etc. Again, highly recommend for the listeners out there, take a listen to those episodes. They're awesome. And I believe Nate works with you and recommended the podcast, or how'd it come about?
Yeah, Nate's an employee at the store Complete Inbox, and I saw them posted on social media, and I was like, that's fun. I like to talk, not necessarily about myself, but about things I'm doing, and I just thought that would work perfectly. And it's so funny, despite what I do all day, 40, 50 hours a week, Nate and Liv are 1,000 times more nerdy than I am. I mean, a million times
really?
More nerdy. I've never played D&D once in my life.
No,
never
Spencer,
once.
Really?
Yes, okay. Never once. I've played Magic the Gathering maybe a dozen times. I don't own any cards. If people are playing, I'm like,
yeah,
you got a deck for me? You know, I know the rules and stuff, but they are so much nerdier than I am. It's amazing, yeah. You know?
That is, because, I mean, and again, I'm a big nerd, nothing wrong with that. I think nerds are starting to become like how the popular kids were. Because again, look what's getting popular. Pokemon's coming back around, you know, video games are definitely blowing up. I mean, between the Meta headsets and things, like, it's just crazy, like, how things that might have been nerdy in the past, Nintendo 64, the Game Boys, like that kind of thing, everything's just becoming popular again.
So I'm not old enough to be part of, like, you know, the 80s movie Revenge of the Nerds, where literally nerds were like chastised, whatever. I'm not old enough for that.
Yeah.
But I am old enough to see it change from when I was in high school, middle school. Like, a nerd was a nerd, and it wasn't a popular thing. And
right.
It's very interesting to see over the last 15 or so years. I mean, you get to the point where Vince Vaughn and a bunch of Hollywood celebrities get together every week to play D&D. And that just blows me away.
Isn't
because, again, you know, someone in their 50s might be like, oh, I was literally, I don't know, beaten up or chastised for being a nerd. It wasn't quite that when I was growing up, but still it was like, you play video games, you're literally not cool. Now it's like, oh, you don't play video games? Are you not cool? You
right.
know, it's really weird how that's all changed.
And isn't it, what is it, Henry Cavill, Superman.
Yes.
He plays Warhammer or something?
Yes. My wife, Ashley, is obsessed with him. I also want to just, before we get super in, want to thank Ashley. She is everything. She is the one who makes it that I can be here today, and she's at home with our newborn right now. She is wonderful. She's an awesome person. And she is obsessed with Henry Cavill, and I am sick of hearing about him. I think he's awesome. I mean,
yeah.
I think he's awesome, but it's like, she'll come to me, you know, I know this stuff from hearing on the grapevine. She'll be like, did you know that he's doing a Warhammer thing? That's by the way, exactly what she sounds like. Did you know he's doing a Warhammer thing? And I'm like, yes, Ashley, I've heard of this.
Yeah.
Do you know he's the Witcher? Yes, Ashley.
Yes.
But now
he's not going to be, I guess, for the new season.
That is correct. He already isn't. They already changed that.
Oh, that's devastating to me.
And I'm certain that Nate and them got into it more, but he is such a big fan of The Witcher that they were making some changes, and he was like, I'm not cool with this. And they essentially were like, we do not care.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, well, I'm not The Witcher anymore.
Yeah.
Gerald or whatever his name is. That's just how non-nerd. It's so funny. There's so many different types of nerd stuff out there that I just don't quite, if you look at it as like a Venn diagram,
yeah.
I don't quite hit to like their point with the D&D. Although I love Nate because he's one of the few people that I know that is nerdy about both sports and nerd stuff.
Oh,
which that's
rare.
That's like my key. Like, I love it. I love sports, and we'll be talking a little bit sports later. But
yeah.
I back in the day, and I know we're already like 5 minutes in, and we haven't even got to a single question.
Right.
But and I told you ahead of time. I said
you
I can,
did.
I said
you're
my man.
Good.
I said my man. I can talk. Back in the day, I lost my train of thought there.
Sports and
yes.
Nerds, yeah.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. Back in the day, you would have someone who was really nerdy about D&D, and you would say anything about sports, and what would they say to you? Sports ball,
right.
You know, just not caring at all. And now you're seeing that, like, come together, and it's just so amazing to see. I love it for that. And Nate's one of the few people I can be like, hey, the Arizona Cardinals did this. And he's like, yeah. But then it's also, oh, did you see The Witcher did this? Very rare.
Yeah.
Very rare.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Shout out to everybody, your wife, Olivia, Nate, Adam. You guys are awesome. Thank you for connecting us, really. I mean, that's why we're here, because they thought of you. So, Spencer, let's dive in. I got a good feeling. There's so much I want to talk about. Video games, your store. Let's start. Where did you grow up? Where were you born and raised?
So I grew up in a little village. I believe it's technically a village. You know how all those towns and villages, whatever. It's called Five Pointville. It's over in the Denver-ish area. Not Colorado. Denver, Pennsylvania.
Thank you for clarifying.
The
right.
One, the one in legs. So I grew up on a 100-acre farm. And due to that, how do I put this? I'm not a farm boy, but farm stuff does not bother me. You know, we have cats, and they're inside-outside cats, and they'll bring in, like, dead things. And I'm just the person who goes and picks up the dead things. Because you know how cats do that. They're like,
oh, yeah,
here's a present for you. And you're like, thank you.
Right.
And it doesn't bother me at all. So
what was like something, like a mouse or like a bird? Like, what was something?
They've done it. They recently, within the last month, brought in a full rabbit. I'm talking a probably 15-pound rabbit.
Wow.
So, and we just walk in and we're like, that's a 15-pound rabbit.
Yeah, those are some badass cats. That's crazy.
Alive. Yes, they certainly are. And
yeah,
it's not like we live in the middle of nowhere. We live in a development, so I don't know where they're finding these 15-pound rabbits. But I grew up on a farm, and due to that, I'm just kind of used to the more chill life like that.
Gotcha. You know, your early childhood, what was that like? What was middle school and high school like for you?
Yeah, so especially looking at it with video games, I don't know exactly when I started. I know that my dad, despite never really playing any video games, got me started with a Nintendo when I was like 5 or 6. There was one game that he would play, and it's called Pipe Dream for NES. It's kind of like Tetris in a way. It's a puzzle game. Did you ever play the game BioShock?
Yes.
Okay, so you know those puzzles where you have to have the fluid flow through the puzzle and you have to just kind of move the pieces around?
Right.
Essentially, it was that.
Okay.
It was that, but it was before BioShock, so it was the whole game. He's only ever played that single game. And yet, for some reason, we started out with games super, super young and kind of enjoying in that way, and that got me to where I am today on that.
All right.
Again, we did both the inside and outside stuff, but that inside really, I don't know, just games really resonated with me very, very early on.
So do you remember, was that like, would you say that was your first console? Was that your first like video game you played?
It definitely was. Yeah, it would have been, 92, 93, 94, something like that. So it was not the new thing at the time, the original NES, but that's definitely the first thing that we had back then.
Okay, gotcha. And, you know, going into high school, any kind of activities were you into? Anything sports related, music, drama, theater, things like that?
So high school was interesting. I loved high school. I know a lot of people say, you know, differently. I went to Garden Spot. So again, we're talking middle of nowhere. It's that school where when you drive up to it, there's a farm right there. It's next to it. I loved high school. When I watch, I wasn't a big movie watcher when I got with my wife Ashley. She's huge into movies, so she got me started into that stuff. And when we watch high school movies like Mean Girls and stuff like that,
okay,
I'll turn to her and just always say, high school wasn't like that at all. And she grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Whoa.
So it's like cutthroat out there. Yeah. It is like the absolute opposite of Five Point Full, Pennsylvania. And she'll be like, oh, it was exactly like this. There was the cliques, there was the goths and the emos and the whatever.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was like, you know, there was that. There were people that dressed goth and emo, but it wasn't like, oh, you had to stay with your clique and these girls are mean and all this stuff. So it goes to show you how just great and wonderful and huge life is that two people can experience something completely separate.
Yeah.
Because we tried our best as a group of friends to kind of be, kind of bridge the gap between everyone. So when I was coming through in eighth or ninth grade, there was always the 11th and 12th graders that like, and again, you earn it to the point where you're the big man on campus. So you're like, I'm a 12th grader.
Right.
You know? And we didn't really like that too much when, you know, we would be in, say acting things with them and, you know, we would get these bit parts cause we're eighth and ninth graders and they would get the main parts. And essentially they would be like, you know, hold my towel, you know, youngin' kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And we got to the point where when we got older as upperclassmen and we were like, we're not going to do that. We're not going to be like that.
Yeah.
And generally everyone I knew was pretty much like that, at least in the activities I was. So again, it was weird. I don't know how it is 15 years. Oh goodness. Almost 20 years later since I graduated high school. That's awful.
Isn't it crazy how time flies?
Yeah. I graduated college in 2010 and that's almost 15 years. So it's like, oh goodness. Like we gotta stop this.
No, it's a perfect segue. So I feel like we have to talk about how did you and Ashley meet? And then, you know, was it at college? Let's talk about all that.
Yeah. So, college first, I went to Drexel University, over in Philly. I chose Drexel because it was in state. They didn't have a football team, which I thought was hilarious. They were the Dragons. They're the Drexel Dragons.
Okay.
Pretty cool, right?
Oh, very cool.
And they were generally pretty well known for their arts and sciences and STEM and all that kind of stuff. I went to school for math. I did finish with a bachelor of math. And no, I see. I went
for math.
What do they call it? Cartography.
Okay. Yeah.
I wanted to make sure that all of the areas of the world that weren't mapped already that I got those good to know. I went for mathematics.
Perfect.
Mathematics.
I'm with you now.
And about 3 years in, I realized that I had my minor as psychology, and I realized that if I move stuff around and just didn't take so many like kind of fluff classes, that I could double up the major there. So that's what I ended up doing. I got math and psychology, which is probably a pretty weird combination.
Yeah.
And as a lot of people in my age group, I didn't necessarily use those degrees in what I'm doing nowadays. Although I don't think I would have done or be where I am nowadays without that ridiculously hard work ethic that doing high-level math at Drexel was. I am probably the worst... Yeah, I'll go ahead and say this. I'm probably the person that's worst at math in America that got a math degree from a decent college. Whenever I say Drexel, people are like, oh,
yeah. You know?
But it's funny because we were right across from Penn. Which is Ivy League. So for us, it was like when we saw Penn, we were like, right? Then when like someone goes to Millersville, they're like, Drexel, right? And it's funny because when you live in something, it's just always going to be different from what people see from the outside. So I saw it and I thought, I knew a bunch of geniuses there. I knew a bunch of people that I don't think they should have been in college.
Yeah.
You know?
right.
This apparently is a prestigious degree, but or a institution, but you know, that's how it is. But I finished somehow math. I literally spent every weekend in the library just studying. I had no life because it did not come naturally to me at all.
Okay.
My roommate in college, absolute certified genius. Absolute genius. He would not ever come to class. He would wake up at 2-3 p.m.
Yeah.
Piano prodigy. He would just sit at this piano and just and just no music in front of him, anything, while I'm there trying to learn guitar. Guitar Hero, the game, came out, and I was like, I want to learn guitar. So I'm sitting there playing, dun, 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 right? And he's playing, like, just absolute Bach.
Just
like,
shredding it?
Just shredding it, running piano.
The piano, yeah.
And when I saw that, it turned something in me going, you know, this guy has a lot more natural talent than me, and he's always going to be smarter than me in math and many other things, but if I put my mind to this, I can really, really, really get to a point where at least I'm almost there. I'll never have that pure talent that he has.
Yeah.
But that was a big eye-opening experience in my life when I saw that. And again, I would go every time. I would study all the time. I would get a C if I was lucky, because this is literally one of my final classes with proofs, P-R-O-O-F class, where essentially you would just have to prove something is true.
Okay.
So they would say, you know, A plus B equals C, prove that A squared plus B squared equals C squared. But you would have to take it like step by step. Like literally the first thing you would have to put is real numbers exist, right? And a real number is essentially just like a counting number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever.
Okay.
So you would literally start at the very basic of like, it's almost like saying, how do you make a cake, right? And you would have to say, okay, in order to make flour, you have to start at this, you know, the very basic of grinding the stuff down, essentially.
Right.
So instead of saying, we'll just put the flour in, it's like, what's flour?
Yeah, start from the very beginning.
Right, you would have to explain and tell what flour is.
Yeah.
My final in that class was 2 or 3 hours long. It's been a while. And it was one question. It was, we walked in, it was one question.
Yeah.
And the line, the question was maybe 2 lines long, maybe. But it was done in a way where it was so absurdly complex, the way you had to start it out, that I did okay on it. I think the teacher realized my predicament and was like, C minus, you go, boy.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got it.
You kind of got it there.
So why mathematics? Like, why?
I always love math. I always love statistics, all that kind of stuff. If I wasn't doing what I would be doing now, I actually was originally planning on becoming an actuarian, which essentially is a statistician of sorts. The problem is a lot of the jobs that are available for actuarians are with like insurance companies and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I have this hard moral rule where, good or bad, I refuse to like put a number on a person's life.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's what you're supposed to do. That's your job. You know, you're supposed to say, how much are we insuring them for? How much does it cost? I refuse to do that. And there are other things out there for that. And, you know, I'm sitting here at 35. I've had this complete in box for about 13 years. I'm not saying I'm going to do that for the rest of my life kind of thing. If I did continue on in the future, it might be something math related, but not something for a huge company like that. I just refuse.
Doesn't feel right.
It does not feel right to me.
Gotcha. No, for sure. And then, so you and Ashley, how did you meet? Because she's across the country, really.
Yeah, yeah. So she came into my store a couple times. Yeah, right. Love is in the air.
Yeah, but okay, well, but Pennsylvania, you know.
Right. So she had a difficult adolescence out in Vegas.
Okay.
And she started an online relationship with someone who lived about 15 minutes away from us in Denver, Pennsylvania. And she saw it as her way out. So it wasn't a great relationship. And if I had her sitting next to me, she would say the same thing. It wasn't a great relationship, but it was a way to get out of that situation. And she moved out here. And it ended up being obviously not real great for her. They were very interesting people that did things very interesting. Essentially, she was like stuck in the basement all the time because they didn't do anything. And on the few times that they would go out, once in a while, they would go to my store. And I saw her a couple times and I talked to her a couple times and I didn't really think anything of it. I'm one of those guys that a girl could literally be throwing themselves on me and I'd be like, yeah, okay, hi.
Yeah.
You know, I would have no idea. They would be like,
that's what my wife would say I am. Yeah.
Are you single? I'd be like, yeah, why do you ask?
Right.
Like, that's just literally to my level. So
yeah.
Apparently she was always flirting with me when she came in, even when she was with the boyfriend at the time. Yikes. Listen, Ash, come on, you know.
Right.
But so she would actually come in with the cousins of that boyfriend, soon to be ex-boyfriend. And one time she came in and I was kind of standing over on the side. I saw something just kind of fly past my eyes.
Yeah.
Like the way the store is set up is once someone gets in a little bit, you can't really see them. So you have about 10 feet to say, hey, how's it going? And then they go in and do their own thing.
Okay.
And I just like was doing something on the computer. And I was like, hey, and it was gone. It was like a flash of light, you know, getting in there. It ended up being her. And I guess that was the day she was going to be like, hey, here's my number or whatever. She chickened out so much that she couldn't do it.
What?
And yeah, she literally couldn't do it. And she got her cousin to hand it to me. So literally she, and the cousin is very, Ashley is much more of the shy type, obviously. The cousin's much more of the, hey, here's how it is, whatever. My, right. my friend wants to,
straightforward. Straightforward.
So I got this number of this girl. I have no idea who it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know what she looks like. I don't know. I don't know that I've talked to her before. No idea. So the first thing I texted to her is, hey, I'm flattered, but I'm really not interested.
What? Oh, you shot her down right away. Because you didn't know.
I was just getting out of a not great relationship myself, and she was still technically with the not great relationship herself. So it's just funny how that works out. Yeah. That literally the first thing was like, I'm so flattered. This is like only happened to me a couple times before, but I'm just not interested, but yeah. I'd love to talk. How are you? Whatever. And then of course, 13 years later, three kids later.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah. That's
so
awesome.
So when the kids, you know, ask like, how do we met? I say in the store or whatever. And I'm like, I turned her down right away. You know, like,
right. I shot her down.
I shot her down.
That's crazy. That's so cool though. What a story. I mean, she just happened to be right down the road, comes into Complete Inbox Video Games, and like, the rest is history, really, you know?
Yeah, it's just, yeah. It makes me think about the threads of life and just like, if I wouldn't have decided to go to Drexel, maybe I wouldn't have gotten that that work ethic that got me to start on that. If my dad didn't get me an NES when I was 5 or 6 years old, maybe I wouldn't be into that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have met Ashley and who, I wouldn't have my kid. It's just so amazing, the butterfly effect of everything
isn't it?
That happens.
Yeah, it's like a trickle amazing. Effect almost. Amazing. Yeah. So now let's talk about what is Complete in the Box Video Games. Where is it located? How did it even come about?
Yeah. So like I said, I lived in Five Pointville, which was roughly 30 to 45 minutes away from the nearest game store. Now, granted, we were kind of in the middle of nowhere, like I said, but there was nothing in Ephrata until we opened up in 2011. Just nothing. So I would work at, I worked at GameStop part-time when I was home from college, and I had to drive to the Lititz Pike Golden Triangle location, which was an easy 30 minutes.
Yeah, I know where you're at, yeah.
Okay, yeah, and it's funny because I still have very fond memories of that because I met so many great lifelong friends there as it, you know, happens. And after finishing college, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I worked at GameStop. I worked at another local game store. I saw what they both did, but what they weren't doing, how I could improve that. And most importantly, I saw that there was just nothing. I was like, how is there no video game store in Ephrata? So, you know, New Holland, Denver, Ephrata, all that. They would have to go to Lancaster or Reading. Either way is 30 minutes. And I thought, that's ridiculous because I had to live it myself. When I worked at the other local game store, it was more like a 45, 50-minute drive kind of thing, which I loved working there, but 45, 50-minute drive is really tough.
Right.
You know, you when you start out, you're like, this will be fine. And then 2 months in, you're like, this is not fine. Right.
This isn't good. Yeah, this isn't going to work out.
So, yeah, I it was one of those things where it was kind of because I had nothing other major going on in life at that point, and I could afford to do that. I spent about 6 months coming up with a plan while still working at the other game store. It's funny. I told them about my plans, and I actually,
what'd they say? Like, yeah,
they were very supportive. They were very supportive. Okay. I think and I would probably feel the same way. I think at the end of the day, they didn't really believe that it would work out, and I get it. I understand. But and that's just me. I always take it like you know, you got to put that little extra push to get you going kind of thing. But they were very supportive. I actually even got my replacement. It was someone that I worked at GameStop, and I was like, this guy would be perfect to replace me.
Yeah.
So I spent about 6 months going around to a bunch of different flea markets. I went all around Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, just picking up everything I could, spending all that time just building up the stock. And I came up with what I believe to be a pretty good business plan that, you know, some of the stuff I learned from college, some of the stuff you just Google and you figure it out. I went to three banks. They were all like somewhat local banks. And I asked for $40,000, I believe.
Okay.
Now, this was in 2011, 3 years after the major stock market crash. And everything was not great. And every single one of them said the same thing. They said, this is a great business plan. I think you'll do well. We can't give you any money. Mm. So literally, what ended up happening is the one was like, we'll loan you this money, but we need full 100% collateral against it.
Okay.
And I was 22 at the time. So it's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
And my dad was going to be a co-signer, and they were like, hey, we need full 100% collateral. And he was like, now, wait a minute. If I'm putting up full 100% collateral on this, why don't I just, you know, sell some stuff, move some stuff around, and then just give it to him and, yeah, you know, work out the middleman. So that's what we ended up doing. I'm very appreciative of what he was able to do. It was some of the extra money that I saved from like scholarships and grants and stuff from college that he was able to do. I also had some stuff left to me by my grandparents that, you know, I think it's when you turn 18, you know, you get a little bit. So we put everything together that we could do that to get to the 40,000-50,000 that started it.
Nice. Wow. So, I mean, your dad believed in you, you know, and pretty much invested, you know what I mean? Like took a shot, really.
Looking back on it, it absolutely could have failed. I'm still, I guess it's called imposter syndrome. I'm still like, did this work? Cause you know, people come in, they'll be like, oh, 13 years, you really made it. And I'm like, did we? Okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's one of those things where I look at it like you don't rest on your laurels. You just keep getting better every day kind of thing. My biggest hero of all time is Tom Brady. And which obviously around this area, boo, you know, you can get out of there. It's fine. Yeah. But the man did everything and still pushed harder and harder. He had 4, 5, 6 Super Bowls, and his coach, Bill Belichick, would come in and look at tape. And Belichick would treat him like anyone else. He would say, look at this throw by Tom. It's awful. And Tom would go, you know what, coach, it is. It's awful, and I'll get better, you know, kind of thing. Whereas he could have easily been a diva and said, you kidding me? I'm Tom stinking Brady.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I always look at that as you don't rest on your laurels.
Then. Yeah. Oh, for sure. And it's interesting you bring up, like, the imposter syndrome, because a lot of guests on the podcast have kind of mentioned a similar thing, you know, where it's like you almost can't believe how far you've come or, like, how far you've made it. And, you know, what you've done. And it's kind of interesting to look back and be like, to see where you started, you know, and what things were like, or maybe how the store was back then compared to where it is now. It's just interesting because even like here on American Grown Podcast, I have a similar thing where it's like, all right, you know, this is episode 69. To look back at like episode 1 through 10, I had some great, phenomenal guests on, but yet, like, I was still learning, you know, and I think humans are always learning, but like, back then, it's like, wow, I've definitely come a long way, you know, but yet I don't think, like, when they're like, oh yeah, you're a podcast host, and it's like, I don't know if I feel that way. I don't know how to explain it.
Am I?
You know?
Yeah, it's like, I absolutely feel you the same way. One of the things I decided very early on is we were going to be a one location store. I like to be hands on, and the more locations you have, the less hands on you can be. And I just like to be able to know the people, know what's going on. Like when I'm not there, like for instance today, I can send messages to Nate and all them and say, this is exactly what you can expect. So they're not going to get, you know, railroaded by something. We did do 2 expansions to the store, first in 2014 and then second in 2018, I want to say, where the places that were next to us moved out.
Okay.
And we broke down a wall and got bigger and whatever kind of thing. So that was fun. It is interesting because I'm at the point with it where I'm not going to do a second store, never want to do that. And we're not going to get any bigger. We have all the space we need. So for the longest time there, it was, oh, we'll look forward to the next expansion and all this. That will fuel me. Now it's got to be to the point of every day you just got to do a little bit to get a little bit better, or at least not get worse that day.
Yeah, and for the listeners, you know, you guys, you have everything. You have video games, comic books, collectibles, I think even like figurines and D&D stuff. I mean, you run the gamut.
Yep, Funko Pops, collectibles, all that kind of stuff. We try to be as much of a one-stop shop as possible. The only thing we do not do is like trading card kind of stuff. That is a whole thing in itself. That it gets really complicated.
Yeah, it's a different beast altogether.
It's a whole different beast.
Gotcha. Yes. Understood. So then you opened up 2011. What was, like, friends, what were people thinking when you opened up? Like, what were people saying?
People were so apparently starved for a game store in the area that somehow, even though we were doing our own social media thing, and it's weird to say, but 2011 social media is leaps and bounds different than 2024 social media. You know, it just wasn't as big. And we were trying to get everything out there. That's one thing I don't do is any sort of true advertising. We just do all social media, all word of mouth, all that kind of stuff. And I would be in there working, getting everything set up, and I would have people just knock on the door and be like, hey, when are you opening up? And the first time that happened, I was like, oh, that's funny. That's weird. And then it would happen like multiple times a day leading up to it. Like, oh, when are you opening up? And at the time, I didn't have a full date. I was like, well, we gotta figure this out, you know, kind of thing. But when I saw people do that and come in that way, I was like, this could actually work, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny. There were people that came up. They didn't even know who I was personally, but they knew that I worked at the other game stores. And they're like, you're that guy from GameStop in the other place. And I'm like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
You know, one of my best friends, Ryan, like I never knew his name, but he would always come into that other local game store and he collects Nintendo games. And I would be like, you should really pick up this game. It's, you know, whatever. And we would talk about whatever. And he came in day one, we were open. And he like literally walked through and he pointed at me. He was like, no way. And he didn't even know my name, you know, like, cause we never, it's so weird in a setting like that. You can know someone for years and just never exchange names.
Yes.
It's just, you know, like, hey, it's a guy. I know exactly who he is. You know, I know your face and I know everything you like, whatever. I never said, hey, I'm Spencer, you know, kind of thing. We don't obviously wear name tags or anything like that. But when we saw that, and when we saw day one, so many people came in, I was like, this could actually work. This could actually work. I'm still a little scared, but it could actually work.
You can make a go of it. And, one of the things I found interesting, because I obviously looked up and Googled Complete Inbox Video Games and checked it out, you have, I think, almost a perfect 5 stars on Google, and you have like 800-some reviews. That is awesome.
So there's a couple things that I push harder than anything else.
Okay.
We will never be the place that has everything. It's impossible to have everything. Impossible. And we're never going to be the cheapest place, because someone will always say, you know, oh, I saw this at Goodwill for $2 or Ollie's, right, or whatever.
Yeah.
So what we focus on is the good customer experience, because I don't care how online the world gets, people still crave that in-person experience, especially a positive in-person experience.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you how many times I just have bad shopping experiences, and it's just like, God, please, you know. So our thing is, you know, when I worked at GameStop, I learned they're really hardcore. They're infamous for just pushing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in, hey, how can I help you? What's going on? You know, do you want to reserve this? Do you want to sell this? You know, kind of thing.
Right, right.
So the day we started out, I was like, say hi. Say, how you doing? Let me know if I can help you with anything. Feel free to look around, kind of thing. So that's one of our big tenets of just make people comfortable. Treat people the way you would want to be treated. It's not rocket science.
Rocket science, there. Yeah.
Yep. The other thing that I'm really, really big on is cleanliness, both as the store and as of our product. We probably spend over 50% of our time in store just cleaning stuff. People bring in a bunch of stuff they find in their attic or whatever.
Okay.
Great, we buy it, whatever. But we're going to spend hours a lot of times cleaning that, getting it good to go. So I can feel comfortable selling it to someone and not being like, oh, yeah, you got to clean it off a little bit. You know, it's a little moldy, you know,
a little kind dirty.
No,
right.
No. So that's one of those things that I really try to be as customer centric as possible, because without the customers, you have nothing.
Yeah,
so
true.
And I appreciate the kind words. I'm not the best at taking those, as we kind of mentioned before, where someone's like, you've done all this. It's like, did I? You know, but we've had our bad. I've had times where customers are just jerks, and I've learned over the course of time to kind of like chill myself down and go with it. And there are times where I, honest to God, make a mistake,
mm-hmm.
and I will always do my best to work it out. Whether they pick up something that doesn't work, or I forget something, or I mess up, everyone messes up. So I try my best in situations like that to just be like, hey, honest to God, I messed up, you know, and how can we make this better? So that's one of the things we try to do there.
Oh, that's phenomenal, and that's a great mindset to have. Like, even something as seems as small as cleaning up, you know, the pre-owned, you know, video games or consoles and making them look brand new. I mean, that goes a long way. And with the Google reviews, I'm very big into Google, and you know, here at Color Tech, we have over 100 five-star reviews, and I'm always pushing and asking clients, and I shouldn't say pushing, but communicating with clients, like, hey, would you mind leaving us a positive review? And like I said, when I saw yours, I was like, man, that's phenomenal, because it says a lot about yourself, about the business you run, about your store. And honestly, it intrigues me to be like, I got to go check this place out, because the reviews are so good, you know, and seeing the pictures that people post on Google. I don't know. I'm just, that's for me, I like Google. If I'm going to a restaurant, I check the Google reviews.
Of course.
You know, that's just what I do. So now, what would you say owning your own store, you know, what are some of the ups and downs you face on a daily basis?
The biggest thing nowadays, especially with our kids and everything, is time management. That's just one of those things where years ago, before I was with Ashley or before we had kids, I could spend a lot more time with it and kind of like dilly-dally around.
Right.
Now it's like, How can I best use my time? How can I leave on time? How can I make sure she's not at home with three kids? So that would be the hardest thing. I also, as mentioned previously, I don't want to get complacent, and it's really easy in life to get complacent with just anything. So I try my best to come in and think, okay, I'm going to do one thing that's different today. Put something else new out, talk to someone about something different, whatever kind of thing. So that would be those would be the hardest things, because again, complacency is just, it's very tough. My favorite part is just dealing with people in general. I'm very forward sitting as an owner. And
okay.
I even hate saying as an owner. It's weird. I don't even like saying, I'm like, oh, I run it, you know.
Yeah.
People ask me, I'm like, oh, I run this thing, you know.
right.
I like learning from people. I like meeting them. We have some customers that legitimately have came in probably once a week, twice a month for 13 years. You know what I mean? And it's like,
yeah.
You know them, and it's just...
They're regulars.
It's really cool. It's really cool. And as I mentioned previously, when you mentioned the Google reviews and stuff, I didn't try out that way, but we tried a little bit of like actual advertising back in the day. And this is not business. Advice for you guys. Please do it on your own thing. But I tried it and I found out it didn't work. And I found that what I wanted to do is almost be like a destination location where we provide something that's so unique and so fun that someone will just be like, hey, I went to this thing. Do you want to go take a road trip there sometime or whatever?
Yes, yeah.
Right? Rather than doing the traditional TV, you know, radio, all that kind of stuff. I found it either didn't work or I had no way of knowing if it worked.
I see. So to kind of segue into that, you know, now that you have kids, which, what are the ages, if you don't mind?
Yeah, 11 for our oldest boy, about to be 7 for our middle girl, and then 3 weeks for our youngest.
Okay, so, yeah, because
yeah.
You just had, and that's your youngest is
a boy.
Boy, a boy,
yes,
as well.
Yes.
Yeah, because my wife and I, we have a boy, a month old, and then our baby girl is 17 months old. So, like, you know, what are some of the sacrifices you've had to make, you know, being, I know you don't like to say it, but being the owner, you know, running the show, let's say, and then what are some of the, like, what's a lesson you've learned for the listeners that maybe owning their own business or looking to get into or start their own business?
Yeah. So if someone's thinking about starting, I would definitely consider the time investment in it. More than anything, more than money, it's time. Time is actually truly precious as humans. You know, we only have so much time. And Ashley and I would have in the past troubles dealing with my time management. I would be at the store too much, or I would kind of get to points in the year where I would focus too much on that, not enough at home. And that's still something that I personally struggle with, where it's like, I want to give my time to the store, what I need to, but I also really, really want to give my time at home. So that's the biggest thing, you know. Money is very important.
Yeah.
Employees, whatever you're doing is very important, but just keep in mind 40, 50, 60, whatever hours, you're going to have to put that in there. Unless you have unless you're the silent partner or whatever, you really got to put that time in there and consider that with your family, with your friends. There are sacrifices, absolutely, for sure, that I've had to make. When we were first starting, and I had less going on with the store and whatever, I could kind of just go to work and then just do what I want. I would go to like karaoke all the time and all this kind of stuff. Now, because of our work schedule and everything, it's much more, you know, work or family. And then the other stuff is I got to schedule it out like this. We schedule
yeah.
this at a time, or,
yes.
you know, other things weekly. It's just one of those things. Keep that in mind before you start up. If you have a significant other, if you have family like that, please talk to them ahead of a time so they know what to expect.
Oh, 100%. I agree. And getting them on board, like you said, is huge. I mean, like you said, without Ashley, you wouldn't be able to come here to the podcast or
absolutely,
you know, do
yeah.
so many other things, I'm sure. And that's how it is with my wife, Courtney. It's like, you know, she's watching the kids. And to have somebody in your corner that supports you and what you're trying to do, because, you know, a lot of times you might have a crazy idea, whether it's a podcast, whether it's owning your own video game store, whatever it is, a coffee shop, whatever. To have a group of people, but at least definitely one person that's like your rock, I feel is huge. Without it, I don't know if it's even possible.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Have you had any mentors that you'd want to shout out? People that have helped you out along the way?
Yeah, absolutely. The first one that comes to mind, Brian Horan. He was my manager at the GameStop when I first started. I have the utmost respect for Brian. He's a couple years older than me, and due to his life circumstances, he had both of his first two kids very young and had to obviously provide for them and everything. He would work at the Staples across the street from the GameStop that we worked at from like 6 a.m. to like 2 p.m.
Wow.
He would take a 30-minute lunch, come over to GameStop from like 2:30 to 3 till close. And he did that every single day for 5 years.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. So, and it just, it showed me that like, if you work hard, you move up. When he started, again, I was part-time because I only did it when I was in college. He started at the same position as I was. And by the time I would come back from like fall semester, he would be like moved up to from, you know, SGA, which is kind of like the lowest key manager, to assistant manager.
Wow.
He's now a district manager of Turkey Hill. Just, it goes to show, if you push hard enough, you can really do that.
Yeah, let's take a sip break. Amen to that. I'm with you. So I wanted to talk about, like, what do you see as upcoming industry trends? I know I briefly mentioned, like I said, I'm pretty sure it's the Meta, like, what is it, Meta 3, the headset?
Yeah, the Quest.
Meta Quest headset. Yeah, I don't know a lot about it, but, like, what do you see as, like, the future for video games? You know, I know the PlayStation 5 is a kind of newer console. What are your thoughts?
So the big boogeyman right now in games would be digital games, kind of like how everything in movies has gone to streaming services and all that. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm the most biased person humanly possible to talk about this. So
okay,
please do your own research and everything. I think that digital is a nice alternative to have, but I think that physical releases will always, always be there. And we're seeing that a little bit even when it comes to streaming services, where people are getting kind of fed up with the fact that I want to find a certain movie. I have 8 streaming services. It's not on a single one of them.
Yes.
Or, you know.
Or it's there, but you have to pay like $8.99 or something ridiculous.
Right,
yeah,
right. Like, I'm already paying. And I think we're going to get to that point with video games where, yes, it's nice that you can just be able to like get on there and just, you know, quickly download it, whatever. But there will always be people that want physical stuff, simply because if you get it and you beat it in a couple weeks or a month or 6 months or a year, you can sell it again. You can recoup $15-$20. When it comes down to it, I believe in having the most choices possible as a consumer. I don't care if you compare prices with us and GameStop and Amazon, whatever. The fact that you have 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 different options is wonderful for you as the consumer.
Yeah.
When you go all digital, you give up almost all those rights. You give up to the point where if PlayStation decides that they want to sell the new God of War for $150 and there's no physical release for that, what is your other option? There is no other option with that. Now, sometimes digital is really great when they have certain sales and whatever that, but there are times where there's an older game, 6-7 years old, Call of Duty World War II. Not the greatest Call of Duty game, but we sell it for about 10.
I love Call of Duty, yeah.
Yeah, and we sell it for about $10.
Okay.
And we always have copies of it. Right now, on the PlayStation or Xbox, it's available for $60. That is the only way that you can download it.
Oh, my God.
And essentially, the way they try to get away with it is they give you all the downloadable content with it. They call it the Gold Edition, whatever.
Yeah.
Which, okay, if you're going to play it for hundreds of hours, great. But if you just want to play that game, you have the option of either $10 or $60.
I'd rather do 10.
Right, yeah. Right.
And then you own it.
And heck, you could find a place that's selling it for $5 or $2 or 15 or 20.
Right.
And that's the great part about the free market economy with that. So again, I don't think all digital will ever truly be a thing. Microsoft is really pushing it right now, but they're also failing pretty spectacularly on that. Like, people are not happy with them on that. And I think the results show themselves.
Speak for themselves, for sure. And I agree. For the longest time, I tried to hold out, because I would go to, you know, a GameStop. And before that, I think it was like Electronic Boutique, like way back. I'd always go because I wanted a hard copy. And then, you know, as it got convenient, I'm like, okay, I'll buy the new Call of Duty from the PlayStation store. Looking back, it's like, really, you don't own anything. You know, it's a digital download that if the PlayStation Store goes away, you don't have it. You can never play that game again. You
and,
know what
and
I mean?
And we're starting to like, see that with, yeah. with a lot of games, especially in the PS4 era, where you cannot get it anymore. You just simply can't, you know? Or if they delist it from the store, all of a sudden we'll get a bunch of cards. The Batman Arkham game for the PS4, Arkham Knight, was recently delisted. So within that week, we got like a bunch of calls like, hey, do you have Batman Arkham Knight? Because I can't download it anymore. Yeah, the physical copy will always be there. But the digital one, if they decide to take that away, they decide to take away. That's what you sign up when you sign up for it and say, I agree. That's what they have for you.
Yeah. Interesting that you mentioned too, like the streaming services. Now, I think they're all doing it. Like you pay this much. And before you had no ads. Now all of a sudden there's like four or five ads. And it's videos, you know, or not videos. It's movies, TV shows, TV series. Doesn't matter what it is. And I said to my wife, I'm like, so, okay, so we can pay this price, get the ads. Pay maybe double that price a month, get no ads. But I'm like, it's almost to the point where I want to plug the DVD player back in and just get the DVDs because you don't have to deal with the nonsense.
4K Blu-rays are actually getting really big again because of nonsense like that.
Yeah.
And I actually find myself using Tubi more often recently. That's the completely free one that has ads.
Okay.
Because the way I look at it is, if I'm going to pay for Hulu and it has ads anyway, I might as well go to Tubi where they have like a billion more options because Tubi essentially just has everything on it because they have ads. And it's like, okay, if I'm going to do ads, I'm going to go to the thing where I have a million choices.
I have
just
to check that out.
Ads,
yes, I need to check
too. Tubi, completely free, 100% free.
Yeah, definitely have to check that out. So now, kind of wrapping up here, I wanted to, before we close out, I want to thank you for bringing me the beanie and the t-shirt, which is phenomenal, Complete Inbox. It has the old handheld, what I'm looking for, controller. Jesus, bums.
Yep.
Sorry. But yeah, it has the handheld controller. So not only do you sell, but you buy, you trade also.
Yeah. So if someone has like a bunch of PS2 games they want to trade towards PS3 games or whatever, they'll have a certain value towards that.
Oh, very cool. You know, and you have video games from every era. So like 80s, 90s, you have them all, you have everything.
We try to do a little bit of everything for that.
Phenomenal.
Yes.
So thank you for these, and there will be photos up on American Grown Podcast, Facebook, and Instagram for the listeners to check out. How can our listeners connect with you and follow along in your journey, and where can they get some of the awesome swag themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So just Complete Inbox everything, whether it's on Facebook, Complete Inbox, all one word, Twitter, Complete Inbox, all one word, Instagram, Complete Inbox, all one word, CompleteInbox.com. Come see us over in Ephrata. We have a YouTube channel as well where we put a bunch of store-related stuff, whether it's Let's Plays or just in-store kind of stuff. Again, Complete Inbox, all one word. So yeah, check us out for that. I would really appreciate it. Do I have time to talk about flag football for like 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, so the last question is before we close out, what else would you like listeners to know? So, yeah, that's perfect. Like,
okay.
Let's talk about it. Yeah.
So I mean, that's work, right? And yeah. I love it and everything. But my real thing right now is, well, not for the last like 10 years, is flag football. In 2015, I started a flag football league. Now it's known as the EAFL, Ephrata Area Football League.
Okay.
Back then, it didn't have a name. Essentially, it was a flag football league for everyone else, if that makes sense. Over near Lancaster, we have a place called Spooky Nook Sports.
Yes.
Huge place.
Huge complex.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's where a lot of people would go to play something like a flag football. But what you're going to find is a lot of the kids would call them sweats.
Sweaties. Sweaty players.
Sweats,
yeah, they go hard.
I try hard, right?
Yes, try hard.
So essentially, you would go there and you would get a lot of D2 players, Division II players that are like literally 6'3", 300 pounds playing flag football, right?
Yeah.
And I'm about 6 foot, 210, and none of it's muscle. I do not.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, whatever the minimum minimum required is. And I found that that kind of stuff just did not suit me. So I wanted to create something for everyone else. And the EAFL, we are a flag football league that just, we accept everyone. Any skill level. We have a guy, his name's Chris. When he started, he never played football once in his life. He still actually, years later, still will ask stuff like, what's a sack? And we're like, Chris. but yeah. He has tried so hard and practiced so hard that now he's one of the better guys there. And he's very, if you get him the ball, you know he's going to catch it. As the guys say, he's got that dog in him.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that dog in him. And that's probably our best example of someone who literally at the time probably couldn't run 30 seconds without getting super winded. Now he's out there all the time, just bam, bam, oh, wow. every single play for that. So we made it. If you're familiar with NFL Blitz,
yes.
I kind of base the rules kind of off of that. It's a 50 yard field.
Okay.
So a touchdown is 50. You get one first down 25 yards in, just like NFL Blitz. And it's kind of like just all standard football, except for there's no offensive or defensive line for that. So the person who hikes the ball will also go out for a pass, you know,
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just something that we play Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. over in Denver. We used to play a little bit later, but we find that our wives are much chiller when we get home at 11:30 rather than like 3:30.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone out there knows it's like I get home at 11:30 and it's like, great, we have the whole day. You leave from like 1 to 3, it's you spent the whole day. It's right. The exact same amount of time.
Isn't it interesting?
But you spent the
move
whole
it
day
up,
there.
Move it up, right? and it changes everything.
Yeah. Right. It's wonderful
yeah.
for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just, it's a league we created for everyone else. If anyone is ever interested, you can always message me on any of the Complete Inbox stuff.
Okay.
It's for someone, we're all dads. Yeah. You know, I'm 35 years old. I've been doing it for almost 10 years now. I'm not particularly good, as I mentioned, but it's one of those things that I look forward to it every single week. If you are looking to get a little bit of exercise, looking yeah. to hang out with buds and whatever, it's really enjoyable. In fact, this is my nerd stuff. I was talking about Nate earlier and like how their nerd stuff. Every week, this is gonna sound crazy, but I bring along a little pocket voice recorder, and I keep stats on stuff's going on. Absolutely. Okay. So it'll be like, say, it'll be like Austin pass complete to Spencer for 15 yards, second down.
Yeah.
And what I do is I get home later and I'm able to write it down play by play and then keep the stats. We have Nate actually does this. He is incredible at like Google Docs and Google Stats and whatever. He makes these like incredibly amazing stat sheets.
Yeah.
So what I do is I go in and I'm able to fill it out every week. We not only see what the score was, what everyone, so it'll be like Spencer was targeted 8 times. He has 5 receptions
yeah.
for 70 yards and 2 drops or whatever and a touchdown kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And every week we get to see that. And we also have a, we call it the total stat sheet, where literally every game that we've done, I think we're up to about 15 games now at this point, it adds it up.
Wow.
So
wow.
it's like, yeah. it's like, hey, Mike, you've played 8 games and here are your total stats kind of thing. And I think that it gets people really excited for that. And it makes it feel a little more, I guess, real, you know, even though we've been doing it for years and years kind of thing.
It's pretty legit. I mean, that's awesome.
It's a lot of fun. We also just invested in a GoPro and a bunch of GoPro related stuff that just recently we started taking videos of it. And, you know, we the first week we had the QB cam. So the QB, you would see him throwing the ball.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't see anything but like his arm and then the ball. But then you would see it go flying. Right. And it was like, it's really fun.
So how many players right now? Like how many people?
So it's a very impromptu league. There are times we probably overall for people who play once in a while, because we get a lot of people that actually drive. Brian Horan, the gentleman from GameStop, he drives literally, and I'm not joking, an hour and a half each way.
Wow.
Almost every week to play. And I would say our average person drives 30 to 40 minutes. We get people from the outskirts of Philly.
Okay.
We get, I think Brian's in Middletown. I apologize if I'm wrong on that, Brian. But we get people from super far away. So we probably have overall maybe about 20-ish people that will show up from time to time. It's, again, very impromptu. Okay. So it's something if the wife says, you're not hurting. Yeah, we're good.
Right.
So we range usually anywhere from about 8 to 15 people playing at any given time. Our goal back in the day when we all had a little more time, a few less kids, a little bit things going on, we had full-time teams where we were known, because I was a Patriots fan back in the day, we were known as the Effort of Cheatriots.
Okay.
So we had the same, you know, group of 6 or 7 people that would show up every week.
Right.
And so are you familiar with the Harlem Globetrotters?
Okay, yeah.
And the team that they always play is the Washington Generals. So the team that always loses. We were the Washington Generals. I don't know if we ever won a single time against the other team. They called themselves the Rumhams from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
It's some reference from that. I've seen the show,
but I wish I could think. Okay.
I have to watch it again. We were literally the Washington Generals, where like we were just so bad compared to them. But because we had actual like plays written out, like if you see a quarterback, you know, pull that thing
no
open
way.
That has it.
Yeah. You guys have that?
So we would be like, my favorite play was called Gronk Smash, like Rob Gronkowski.
Yep. Yeah.
So it essentially allowed the tight ends to get open there. And we would get close sometimes simply because we had like good plays written out, even though we were athletically way inferior.
Right.
So our goal is awesome. I don't know if we ever won against the Rumhams one time. For a year or two there, we actually had two games going on at once. So 2 5-on-5 games,
okay.
About 20 people going out at once. That's our goal, is to eventually get to that point where we can have two games going on at once, because it feels alive.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just having that, it just
that energy.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And we've actually recently had, actually Nate's wife comes pretty much every week, and she sets up a chair, and she's like the super fan, you know,
yeah.
She's always there. And it's funny. Nate's very good at flag football. He's much better than me. And like, say if I'm guarding him and like he makes a great catch, she'll be like, "You better catch it." Like, she's like, so I don't want to say hard on him, but so like you better catch that.
Right.
Are you ain't coming home with me? You
I know, see Liv, like, yeah, yeah. Liv being like that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. But recently we've had more of the guys, like wives and families come and just kind of like hang out.
So it's like an event for the whole family.
Yeah. We do it at a park. So essentially like the kids could, you know, go there and whatever. So our goal is to eventually get to the point where hopefully we can have all-time teams, or at least teams where we draft for like 6 or 8 weeks kind of thing, and then switch it up. Right now it's more of a pickup style of just, we try to make the teams fair every time, and that keeps it fresh.
Definitely.
But I want to get to the point where we have potentially two games going on, four teams of five that, like, you know, they're going to be coming, if not every week, every other week, or you have at least enough people to fill up that five. That is what we were able to do back in the day when, again, all of us were a little younger. We've had some people, you know, retire because they get older. Like I said, I'm 35. I'm like, some weeks I consider hanging it up because I'm like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
But it's also just amazing.
But it's fun, right?
Amazingly fun.
It keeps bringing you back. That's what it
is.
It keeps
drawing. Well, even
you back
last
in.
Week I was like, I'm going to hang it up, guys. Like, I just, I'm so bad. And they were like, no.
Oh, wait. Okay. So what's your season like? Were you just playing like last week? Like what?
Yeah, we play pretty much every Sunday. So we used to do it where we played during the summer when there was an actual NFL football, because we played again in the afternoon. Now that we do it at 9 a.m., we pretty much do it all year round.
Oh, cool.
There are weeks where we set it up and there's not enough people. There are weeks where it's like downpouring and we don't feel like it. But I would say over the past, I started taking stats again maybe 16, 17 weeks ago. I would say we played probably 13, 14 of those 16, 17 weeks, which is pretty
good. Well, that's really good.
Pretty darn good for that.
Yeah, for sure. And do you have, so two questions that come to mind.
Absolutely.
Do you have officials or is it like honor system?
Yeah, so we did have an official. We kind of scared him off for a little bit there. He's a friend of ours.
Okay.
Like, he's like a mutual friend.
Yeah.
So we try to ride that line between we're having fun, but we care. Again, not sweating about it, but we want to win, and we want our, since we have the stats and everything. So sometimes his name's Dak. You'd be like, Dak, are you blind? Seriously?
Like, razzing him a little bit.
You know,
yeah.
come on, man.
Yeah.
And he actually showed interest in doing it again. It was just one of those things where, again, it's such a side project for us in our normal everyday lives.
Yeah.
But he showed interest in doing it again. It is the honor system right now. I would like to have a ref, so at least it's not like all of us, at least we can point it towards one person.
Yeah,
I've done a lot of little league umpiring in my day, and I still do it from time to time. And you just kind of have to have that person that both sides can get angry at, because they're just the punching bag. That's sports for you.
That's what it is. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So the second question, what's your attire like? Are we wearing football cleats? Can you wear a baseball cap? Like what? What's your gym clothes?
Yeah,
what are you wearing?
Yeah. Generally gym clothes, but we also have, and you'll see in the picture for this episode, actual jerseys that we made. They're reversible jerseys, so it's really cool. So if you're on the black team, you know, then you can switch it out, and it's literally reversible to white.
Okay.
We have numbers and everything.
Oh, nice.
It's really neat. So in general, it's cleats. It's all the normal stuff. Again, we try to get that line between sweaty about it and guys just playing catch. We want to find that nice in between where like, I may not seem like it, but I get heated, and there are times where I will get absolutely heated if something happens and if I disagree with the call, but at the end of the day, we all love each other, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and it's, but we try not to cross that line of like, actually, like, yes, I will get mad and be like, are you serious? We cannot call that way.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we still play next week because we love it. We love each other, you know, all that. But I'm hoping to get a ref again sometime so we can just push that towards him.
Right. I love it. So, and again, just to sign up is Just reach out, yeah, social media, email.
It's not anything like super official. It's not like when I say league, it's like with 40,000 quotes, because it's more of just a bunch of people just getting together and having fun. We don't take fees or anything.
I was
like
just going
to
ask, is there like a payment?
No, the only time is if they want to get the jersey, which will, you know, we order those and whatever the cost is for that. But yeah, it's not like to the point of like, oh, you didn't show up, you're out of the league. Oh, you dropped a ball, you're out of. No, none of that.
It's not cutthroat like that.
That actually reminds me, that team, the Rumhams that we played, and I'm sorry, I'm sure we went over this hour, and I apologize for that. That team, the Rumhams, they beat us down every week. They went to that Spooky Nook place.
Okay.
And kind of got their butts handed to them. I think they might have won one game, but, and I apologize if I got that incorrect, guys, but they were like good for us. And then you get there and you see everyone. I pick things up and put things down.
Right.
You know, kind of, and you're like, what is this? What is going on?
Yeah.
Which again is what we try to get. If you're out there and you're hearing that and you're just like a dad, or if you got a little bit of a belly, or you're like, you know, your Uncle Rico, you know,
want
to see me throw those over the mountains kind of thing. Please, like, yeah, reach out. Like I said, there's nothing official, but if you reach out via any of our Complete Inbox stuff, I can gladly give you the information, let you know how it is, give you a rough idea of what we expect from each other. And yeah, absolutely.
Anything else you'd like to share with the listeners? Any last tidbit you'd like to leave?
No. So I love giving, obviously I love talking. I love giving advice. So if anyone ever has any specific advice they're looking for when it comes to small business stuff, I will do my absolute best. There are times where the information I give may not be right for you. There's also a place over in Lancaster, and maybe there's one in Lebanon as well, called Score Group, S-C-O-R-E. That's a bunch of business leaders that essentially give out free business advice.
Okay.
But I love when like younger people or even people older than me are like, how do I do this? Whatever. What advice can you give? Because the last thing I want to see is someone get super into something, put a bunch of money into it, but a bunch of time, and then go, oh my God, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, I try to be as honest as I can with there's good, there's bad. You know, you might see me on a certain day and it's a good day. There might be other days where there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes where we're all very frustrated. So I like to try to keep that middle ground there.
Spencer Grossman, owner of Complete Inbox Video Games on the American Grown Podcast and the Color Tech Creative Solutions Studios. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me on.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.